Hello, I'm Jim Richards, and I want to welcome you to this month's World Changer Message. This month, I'm talking about keeping everything in perspective. And because we know that the heart is the critical factor on our perspective, our paradigm, the way we see the world around us, then we understand from that everything is going to come back down to the heart and what's going on in our heart. So the condition of our heart, it's what's going to determine the boundaries or the limitations that we're placing on our life, which means our heart determines how we see ourselves in every situation. Our heart determines how we see God in every situation. You know, that's why Luke 21:26 that I put in our letter this month is so important, where it talks about men's hearts failing them from fear, but it's real key here, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. You know, a lot of people have a totally incorrect interpretation of what's happening at the end of time. They think God is pouring all of these torments on the whole world. And those of you who listen to my Surviving the New World Order, you know that it is not God that will be pouring all of these plagues and all of these things onto planet Earth. In fact, the first 3.5 years is the tribulation of the Antichrist. The last 3.5 years is the wrath of God on the Antichrist and his followers. But nowhere at any time does God stop being our refuge. Nowhere at any time does God abandon us and leave us on our own. But the problem is we begin to have an expectation of what will happen. What will happen to us? We start asking ourselves all of the wrong questions. And when our heart gets filled with fear, I'm telling you, it puts us in a position where we cannot and will not trust God. You know, those who do not trust God do so because they insist that their perception of the facts is more accurate and more reliable than God's perception of the facts. You know, Jesus said in John 9:41, he said, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains." And he's telling them the reason they're stuck in sin. And remember, sin is that feeling of lack. That's really what the word harmartia means, to miss the mark of the prize, to not connect with who we really are, what we really have, and what we can really do, who we are in relationship to God. So Jesus said, you're going to stay stuck in this limited lifestyle. You're going to stay stuck in what alters the way you see God, what alters the way you see the world. And one of the reasons you're going to stay stuck there is because you're going to insist that you see. You're going to insist that your perception is reliable and dependable. Now, you know, I read this scripture to you. I have a book by this title called Taking the Limits Off God. It was the first book I published. I love that book. To this day, I think that book has an incredibly relevant message. But in Psalm 78:41, talks about the children of Israel, talks about how they tempted God. Now, what's interesting, in the way they tempted God, it wasn't that they were trying to get God to sin. You can't tempt God to sin. But basically, they were saying, well, can he actually give us, he gave us water, but could he actually give us meat? Can he do this? Can he do this? Can God really deliver us? And so basically what they were doing is they were putting God on trial, and they were finding him guilty in their own hearts of the inability to deliver them, the inability to keep his promises. And it goes on to say, it says, they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Now listen to this. It says, they did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. I want to tell you something. It is amazing how quick we forget God's power. This is why in our prayer organizer, I always told people, anytime you start praying about something you want to see come to pass, write it down. Write the date down that you start and put a big red circle around it when it comes to pass, so that you can always go back and say, oh yeah, here's one of those times that I saw God's faithfulness. Here's another time I saw God's faithfulness. And of course, another thing I always tell you is don't ever start praying about anything that you're not willing to see all the way through to the end. Because the problem is never a lack of God's faithfulness. The problem is always a lack of our faithfulness. Now, really interesting thing that God said. I love this passage of Scripture. Psalm 81:13 says this, "Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways." Now, God getting us to walk in His ways is not about Him trying to, get us to do good enough so that He's happy with us. He wants us to walk in His ways so it'll go well with us, so we'll experience who He is, so we'll fall in love with Him, that everything that we do with Him or in interaction with Him will be the result of a loving relationship. But in Psalm 81:16, he goes on to say, He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey from the rock I would have satisfied you. That is amazing. God's telling the children of Israel, out there when you were crying for water and out there when you were questioning whether or not I could have given you meat to eat, yeah, you got water from the rock, but I would have given you more. I would have given you wheat. I would have given you honey from the rock. You would have never, ever, ever had to feel any of the lack that you felt. I got news for you. God never wants you to feel lack. Even if we're going through lack in our external circumstances, God does not want us to feel lack inwardly. He wants us to tap into His resources. He wants us to tap in and connect with who He really is, so He meets needs in our lives that He does in such a profound way that nothing on the outside can alter how we are seeing and experiencing the world around us. Now, this sounds brutal, what I'm about to say, but it's true. If we actually communed with God as a way of life, the real truth is He would show us what is ours. He could show us. He's trying to show us right now. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8 says this, "But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord." Now, there's a lot of things that the rulers did not understand, but the primary thing they didn't understand, according to the context of this scripture, is how good God wants us to have it, and how good life on earth could be if we would submit to Him and follow Him instead of following our own ways. Now, listen to this. Verse 9. That's what the scriptures mean when they say, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." Man, that's phenomenal to me. God has prepared something for me that is so good, that is so phenomenal, that is better than anything that anyone has ever seen. It's better than anything anyone has ever heard. And in fact, it is better than anything that anyone has ever imagined. Now, if we've never heard it, seen it, or imagined it, how can it even enter into our heart? How can we even grasp it? Well, we can't unless it comes to us through God revealing it to us. He says, "But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit, for His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets." I got news for you. God's got some secrets. Now, He's willing to share all of His secrets. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about dwelling in the secret place of God. There's a secret place. Now, God does not want to withhold anything from us, but we have to be in communion with Him. We have to be connected with Him. He is trying to speak to us. And I want to tell you, as we see the glory that God has for us, nothing in this life will seem significant in comparison to living in these promises that God has made to us through the Lord Jesus. Now, we've got to always remember, the kingdom is within. It's not without. I want to tell you something. People, God's people, want the kingdom to be of this world. They want it to be external. And we're always looking on the outside saying, "God, if you're really God, change everything out there." You know, I was in a church the other day, and they were singing some unscriptural song about His grace being sufficient. And they were singing that from the perspective of, "Well, you know, God may not give you what you need, but His grace is sufficient." And I always want to say, "Well, what do you think His grace is?" I tell you, His grace is strength, power, capacity, love, acceptance. You know, His grace makes us strong, makes us powerful, makes us able to be who we really are. So in the passage where the Apostle Paul was asking God to remove this thorn from him, remove this external thing, God spoke to him and said, "My grace is sufficient." Now, that's not God saying, "I'm not going to answer your prayer, and I'm just going to love you, and that's got to be enough." No, that was God saying, "Paul, you got to look on the inside. You know, grace works from your heart. It doesn't work from the outside. It works from your heart. To experience God's grace, you've got to be connecting to God in your own heart. And Paul prayed that prayer, and I think it was three times, and finally, I guess he figured it out. You know, I tell people this all the time. It's like, we have the example of moving the mountain when we're operating in faith, and I'm just going to tell you, while that is a perfect example, that's not what's going to happen every single time, because there are going to be situations where I'm following God where the need is going to be to move the mountain, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to move that mountain. There's going to be times when I'm going to walk over the mountain. There's going to be times when I'm going to go around the mountain. The mountain's not going to overcome me, but the question is, how will I overcome the mountain? And God's grace works in me, and it works in you so that you can always overcome. But one of the problems is we decide what overcoming would look like. We decide what the specific outcome has to be. You know, I'm facing situations that I don't have a clear scripture to say this is exactly what I should expect God to do. Then I go to a more general scripture. Well, I know victory is always mine. I know I'm always going to prevail. I know I'm always going to win, but I don't always know what that's going to look like. But I tell you what, God has shown me what's going to look like in each situation, just like He'll show you, and He'll show us how to walk through it. Remember, the kingdom of God is within. And if we're going to connect to who God is and what God has for us, it's got to be because we're getting our perspective internally from our heart. So we want to look at God every day through His Word, through His name, through the resurrection of Jesus. We want to embrace God every single day. We want to have our heart open every single day. You know, I love Jeremiah 33, where it says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." You know, so many times we call to God, and we really don't want God to show us what we don't know. We want to show God what we think He needs to know. We want to show God and tell God how He should lead us, how He should direct us, how He should save us from this situation. You know, in the book of James, after the resurrection of Jesus, James says, listen, you know, anytime you're tempted, anytime you are in any situation that causes you to strive, he says, what you need is wisdom. And he says, if you'll seek wisdom, God will always give you wisdom. But you've got to seek wisdom, not wavering. You're not wavering on anything. You know God's going to show you how to walk this out. You're going to trust God. And I tell you, God will show you. And that's what he's saying here. Call to me. Let me show you things that you don't know. And sometimes I just don't know what I don't know. Sometimes I think I know and I don't. And I've got to be open to God for him to speak to me any way he desires. And I've got to trust him enough to follow him down any path, whether I understand that path or not. But it's really interesting. In the Hebrew, this word call, where it says call on me, is really kind of like calling on a specific name. I find that really, really interesting. I did some research in this to look at it. And of course, that throws us right into Psalm 91. You know, Psalm 91, 14 says, because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation, my Yeshua. You see, it seems that all of these promises of Psalm 91, of not being afraid of the arrow by day or the terror by night, you know, 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, it seems like all of this revolves, well, actually it starts in verse 1 by saying, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So it seems like this is a promise that is made to anyone who is willing to connect with God on this deep personal level, listen to God, but also the person who knows and calls on the name of the Lord. Man, oh man, oh man. You know, one of my very favorite heart physics meditations is the I Believe in God meditation. In the I Believe in God meditation, we look at a lot of the names of God, and we call on those names of God and understand and try to connect with what those names of God mean to us. In this passage in Jeremiah, he's saying, call on a specific name, and I'll show you things you don't know. I'll show you things you don't know about that name. I'll show you things you don't know about how that name will deliver you in this situation. You know, Psalm 138, verses 1 through 3 says this, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all of your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. You know, one translation says, you have exalted above all things your word and your name. You see, God's name is only as good as his word, and God's word is only as good as his name. There is never inconsistency between his name and his word. And if we interpret the word in such a way that it denies any of his names, then we are deeply misunderstanding this link and this bond and this faithfulness to his own name and to his own word. You see, when I'm sick, I want to talk to the Lord God that healeth me. I want to call on the name of the Lord God that healeth me. That's when our tendency is to question, is he really the Lord God that heals me? Why am I not well? You know, all that kind of stuff. Well, listen, Psalm 140:13, I think, gives us some really interesting insight into calling on the name of the Lord. It says this, surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name, and the upright shall dwell in your presence. Now, I don't believe or understand this to say that the upright are dwelling in his general presence. So it says, the righteous give thanks unto his name, and the upright, those who are straight, who are with his name, they're going to dwell in his presence. Well, what does that mean? It means they're going to dwell specifically in the presence that relates to the name that they're calling upon in faith. In other words, you know, when you're sick, the last thing you want to believe, or the hardest thing you have trouble believing, is that God is your healer. And you don't know why you're not healed yet. You're going through all those struggles. But I'm going to tell you, when you begin to acknowledge, not call on the name of the Lord your healer in that, God, I got to get you to do this, but calling on the name of the Lord your healer and, God, this is who you are. This is what you've given me in Jesus. I really believe as we call on his name in faith, then we begin to experience the presence of God associated with that name. In other words, I call on and acknowledge the name of the Lord God, my healer. I start experiencing the presence of the Lord who heals. If I'm in financial trouble and I'm calling the Lord God who meets my needs, then I start experiencing the God who meets my needs, the more than enough God. So we want to continually acknowledge God. We want God to manifest in our situation according to his name. But also, I want to look at his name and keep everything in perspective. I want to realize that if this is who God is and I am in him and I'm not seeing that in my life, then I can't cling to my false point of view and insist that the way I see it is the way it has to be or the way that it really is or that it's fixed in place. I want to tell you something. I trust, and I want you to trust God's name and God's word more than you trust what you see with your eyes, what you hear with your ears, what you feel in your physical body. Because the only way we're going to bring God's promise, God's name, God's person, God's power into the situation is by trusting and acknowledging him in the situation. And only like David, man, when David walked out there and everybody was scared to death of Goliath, you know, David said, yeah, I'm going to have your head today, and because the Lord fights my battles for me. I'm telling you what, he went out there and he kept this incredibly overwhelming, frightening circumstance in perspective because he refused to consider any of what was going on independent of God and God's promises to the children of Israel. And you know something? We cannot face any situation without acknowledging and trusting and relying on God's promises to the Lord Jesus. Because those promises that God made, he made to Jesus. And I can easily believe God's word to the Lord Jesus is a sure word. Now listen, no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, no matter what we don't go through, no matter if the economy gets better, no matter if the economy gets worse, don't look at the world around you and seek to interpret it based on what you can see with your eyes and hear with your ears. Always stay connected to God and always bring everything into perspective based on who God is and how God's leading you in your own heart. And I tell you what, if you keep everything in perspective, you'll never be surprised, and you will be that person, that Psalms 91 person who abides in the shadow, who lives in that secret place, who knows and experiences the name of God. Listen, let's keep taking the word out. Let's keep multiplying this. Let me encourage you to keep sharing my messages on Facebook. Keep sending links to your friends. Keep being internet evangelists with me. Keep making it possible for us to take this word out. You know, I don't know about you, but my position is this. Eternity is forever. Right now is just a short time. And I want to use my time, my life, my resources to be a blessing to my family, to my friends, to the kingdom of God, and to the world that doesn't know Jesus. As long as we keep moving forward, and you know we are, I'll be giving you some new reports about Operation 1 Billion in our magazine this month. But as long as we keep moving forward, faithful in what God's called us to do, we're going to change the way the world sees God, and we're going to enter into heaven hearing, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Listen, I appreciate you. I value you. I'm praying constantly, seeking to find every way I can to invest in you as you keep investing in the purposes of God.